Capstra was a company dedicated entirely to digitized speech. They have speech synthesizers available for sale right now and also for demonstration on their website that will work with the SAPI 5 standard used by a number of screen readers and access technology products, but also their products will run on other platforms too. To tell us about their products and the origins of the company, we're joined by their Chief Technology Officer, Kevin Lenzo. Kevin, welcome to Main Menu. It's a pleasure to have you on the program. Could we talk a little bit about Capstra and its history? How did this company come to be?
Well, it certainly is a pleasure to be here. We started out working at Carnegie Mellon University. Alan Black and myself were making speech systems and building speech synthesizers and voices. There are a number of academic works. There's a couple hundred pages of documents out there that we put on the web about how to build voices yourself, make new ones, make new languages. But we found more and more that people were approaching us to do projects on a schedule to a certain level of quality in a way that it was hard to carry out inside the university. So while the folks we were working with and the graduate students there were perfectly capable of working extended hours on projects that weren't their thesis, actually staying on our projects most of the time was a management, shall we say, challenge. So we spun out the company initially just to do small consulting gigs, and bit by bit we started getting larger projects, being involved with more developed companies. We started working with a company here in Pittsburgh called Dynavox, which makes devices for people who need vocal assistance, who use the device to speak for one reason or another. And that helped us launch really what amounted to the commercial product. From there, we started making partnerships. We licensed our engine to SpeechWorks and others. And bit by bit, the company grew in stature to the point where I was able to step aside as founder and bring in a new CEO. I've since been able to focus on the technology, which is great for us.
So can we talk a bit about the products that you have on the market and the primary markets that you are targeting right now?
Mm-hmm. Well, we have a strong interest in accessibility. It's historically where speech synthesis got its roots, really, in the marketplace. We have a real dedication to that that springs from our vocal disability origins, and we've been trying more and more to support visual accessibility too. We've also been working in handheld in the field professionals area, folks who are mobile, who are doing their jobs while they're on the move, while they're busy doing something else or in the field, and also in industrial settings. So one of the strengths of our offering is that we're able to use this new generation of large sample databases, this unit selection synthesis, but we're able to put it in a footprint that's small enough to run on a PDA. So it's easy to put one of our voices on a flash ROM or an SDRAM and run it on an iPack. So most of the applications that we've been serving are devices that go with the person wherever they are.
This is interesting because speech synthesis has until, I guess, a few years ago, been the province of the disability market, but there is an increasing number of mainstream applications for digitized speech of this kind, I guess, and that must mean that a lot of these products are beginning to reach critical mass.
Well, we certainly hope so. Speech has been a difficult market to crack. While we've had some of the most advanced technology and the other players who are out there have too, there's always been this sense that, wow, it should just be a much bigger opportunity than it is right now. The speech is really starting to catch on now. We're starting to see the airlines calling you when your flight is late. We're starting to see CRM systems, so customers are able to call in and get information all the time in more sophisticated ways than press or say one. I'm really hoping that the portable phone will turn into a full-blown computer, and I'll have a portable network device with me that can give me all my information and everything I want off the net when I want it.
With so many people stuck in long commutes, do you think that there is increasing movement towards the ability to have sighted people driving to work and listening to their email with good quality speech?
I certainly do. That and being able to get a summary of what your schedule should be for the day, being able to get news sources from the network where you want them to be, and also getting training information about your field. For instance, we've been working on a project with a local teaching hospital to make it so that doctors can get their continuing education wherever they are, including in their cars, rather than having to go to a lab and sit down or go to a computer at a given time. They can actually find out about new reactions, new drug interactions, or the latest results on protein pump inhibitors while they're in their commutes, because doctors are very busy, of course, as are all of us.
It seems to me that in the past there's been a little bit of a different mission about the products that are designed for disabled people and the products designed for the mass market, in the sense that a blind person used to digitized speech or synthetic speech will crank it all the way up, and what they really want is responsiveness and intelligibility, not necessarily a natural sound. And on the other hand, the mass market, who are not used to digitized speech, want a very natural sound that they can comprehend quickly. Do you see the markets requiring quite separate solutions, or is the technology advancing to the point that that's not an issue so much anymore?
The technology is getting better in this area. So this new generation of synthesis that uses large sample databases sounds much more like a particular person. And it's now advancing to the point where the intonation and timing can be made very, very regular. The early generations of this unit selection synthesis really didn't have the control over the prosody, which is to say how we actually say things, to the degree necessary to create that regularity. It's starting to get there now. To answer your question directly, I think there will be a diverse set of uses for it. And many of the features that are important in the accessibility market are also important to the mobile worker who is trying to do things very quickly, where responsiveness is very important, where there's no access to the screen. So there are some areas that will look very similar.
What is it about your products that are out at the moment that differentiate them from the other SAPI 5 voices that are quite widely available? What makes yours special?
Well, if you put us in the SAPI camp, it becomes more difficult for us at the moment, because SAPI itself only runs on the desktop. Now, future versions of Windows CE.NET will support a version of SAPI, but at the moment it isn't there. So if you were to compare us directly against the other offerings, it is really in the footprint and the responsiveness. So we're very fast in comparison to the other engines, the other unit selections engines. We're very small, so we can be deployed over the network. You can download our stuff instead of getting hundreds of megabytes on CD. And we're also able to extend and customize voices very quickly. We've just won an award from a speech show in California that around our technical and professional development. So we've had a lot of success in tuning the voice to particular applications and making it work very well.
Yes, I suppose you must have done quite a lot of research in your academic work as well as professional work about what it is that makes somebody consider a particular voice better than another one.
There have been a number of studies, but it turns out that our opinions about that are rather subjective on the most part. We know what it takes to make a good synthesizer out of someone, so we know what the signal characteristics should look like so that we know we can successfully make a synthesizer from them. But the preference of the individual is still quite human. Men prefer women, women prefer men, and depending on the context, different voices will be appropriate. We've done some work with for the military here in the U.S., and they have a need to express different emotions or personalities in different cases. There's a handheld application that we've been working on for speech translation for English to Arabic, Arabic English, and we're now looking at other languages for that. But they operate in domains like force protection and humanitarian aid, both of which have very different feels. So what's appropriate for step away from the car is very different from have you been hurt.
How interesting. So some would be better with female voices and others would be better with male voices, I presume.
I believe so. Places where directness matter, a breathy voice wouldn't be appropriate, for instance. So there are contexts where certain things will be appropriate and some where they will be over the top. For instance, when you hear advertisements on television, the intonation for these is often, when they're doing the voiceovers, can be quite overdone. And in some telephony systems, when you hear it, it sounds like their voice talent is always giving you that over-the-top voiceover. And that may not be the right thing when it's reading you your email.
Right.
You have a letter from Bob.
Yeah, okay. Are we getting to the point where technology exists to make a speech synthesizer out of the person of our choosing?
That's what we do. We take an individual, we have a protocol, we take a person into the studio, and we have them record a large enough set of utterances so that we cover all of the space of language in a particular language. So for U.S. English, we have a certain set of sounds and theories, at least, of how they're put together into, you know, syllables and in phrases and foot structures and stress distributed on them. So what we do is we make a corpus to be recorded that has all of the combinations necessary to be reproduced in context. So really what's happening is we're sampling a human being. And much like a sampling keyboard, rather than take one sample and try to scale it across each octave, it's good to get samples in different pitch ranges and at different times, because scaling these things, just raising the pitch, is not the same thing that happens when a person raises their pitch. There's nonlinear changes that are there. So rather than having a single sample that might be stretched across the entire keyboard, you take samples that are as close as possible to the ones you want and then distort them as little as possible. So it is a large sampling technique. So we could do your voice, for instance. I have done a demonstration where I've made a talking clock out of a person in about 10 minutes. You can record 24 utterances, and you can say the time, and it really does sound like you.
And do you think that technology will ever become so friendly and available that somebody with a reasonable quality microphone and a high enough spec PC could sit in their own home and make a voice synthesizer out of themselves?
Well, right now it's still very hard. We've published the FestVox document out there and includes all of the tools necessary for it, and we teach graduate students how to do it, and they still don't quite get it right without a lot of work. But someday I think it will get easier. Just as dictation is hard when using a speech recognition system, people generally have to train themselves to really dictate clearly. Being able to speak to make the recordings for speech synthesis is also done better by people who have professional training. But I do believe that you could sit down, do a recording yourself. In fact, right now, if you're very motivated, you could do that based on the free software that's on the web to build a voice. There is a new technology that's on the horizon, though, which lets you take an existing database and adapt it towards another voice. So rather than having to record the hours of speech that we do now, that you could record a small amount of speech and take an existing synthesizer and make it more like another voice.
It would be wonderful one day to have a voice synthesizer with a New Zealand accent.
We could make one.
Yeah, good on you. All right.
And perhaps everyone who's using a chat client could then hear everyone in their own voice at that time.
Yeah, that would be impressive. You do have a number of voices on the market. Could you tell us a little bit about the voices that are for sale, which do work with SAPI 5 on the PC? So if people have blindness-specific products that are SAPI 5 compatible, you can actually purchase these voices and download them right away, right?
Mm-hmm. We have a collection of male and female voices. We have a store where they're all available. There are six of them right now. One of them is built off my voice. In fact, the Frank voice is my voice. The voices here are built from mostly from speech professionals, in fact, other employees within the company here. And we have male, female. We have a child voice. We have an older man. We have a Scottish-accented voice named Duncan, which is actually Alan Black, our co-founder. Emily is a PhD linguist named Laura. We have Robin and Lydia, which were made from actresses' voices here. Walter, who is an older man, sounds like a 65-year-old smoker, I would say. But he has a great voice for hearing War of the Worlds, for instance. He's a great reader.
It's quite incredible. And so really, now that you've got this technology down pat, as it were, there's the likelihood of an increasing number of voices on the horizon.
Yes. In fact, we're designing our next generation voices right now. We're also building out new languages. At the moment, we have U.S. English. We'll have Canadian French by August 1st, and we're happy to say that Dynavox will be shipping that too. We'll also be doing German, UK English. We've done some minority languages, and we're certainly making progress with Spanish, which should shortly be available too.
Are you working actively with any particular assistive technology companies in the blindness field at the moment?
We're in discussions with a few. We've been trying to get a little closer. We've been seeding our product and trying to get early feedback. We're about to make some announcements about partnerships and cross-linking, at least, where we are compatible with their products. And so I would say that there's going to be some exciting news about that. We're certainly happy to have a standard that we can meet. Having SAPI there, Microsoft SAPI available on the platform, makes it much easier for us to offer our products to anyone who would want them, and a Freedom Scientific or a GW Micro who create their readers to the SAPI interface can then allow our voices to be used.
You have a pretty impressive demo system on the website where people can hear these voices in action even before downloading.
Mm-hmm. And those are the voices that are shipping. So we have each of those on the website, and I think we might have a couple others. I don't know if you've had a chance to see, there's also a panel for special effects that you can add if you're in the mood for that. So you can add reverb and echo and various things. Now this is, at first this may seem frivolous, but it's actually useful to when you have an application that's using several voices to help to identify them each individually, so you can give them a little bit of different reinforcement.
How much text can be fed into that edit field that's on the website, and then you can hear the voice of your choice read it back? How much text can you put in there?
About 500 characters.
Okay. And that gives you a chance to get quite a feel for the way that the voice is going to sound. And, of course, you can then preview that same text in a range of voices to find out which one you may like to purchase.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. In fact, on the store, there's a link to listen. So as you look around, you can have a try at it and see if that's the one you want.
How much do the voices sell for?
At the moment, they're $29.95 each, and we're about to put bundles of them together and make those available, too, at discounts for higher numbers.
Have you considered a downloadable demo so that it might time out after 30 days to give someone a real feel for how it's going to work on their machine?
We have. We have. It's certainly doable. There are some vendors. There's certainly some other vendors of assistive software that do that. And I think we've been encouraged to do it. I won't say that we've made the decision to go that route yet because the store has been pretty effective for us.
What are the system requirements for the voices?
The full footprint for a single voice is, for Frank, for instance, is a little over 12 megabytes in the 11 kilohertz. So that'll fit on your PDA with no problem. In fact, it'll run on anything probably bigger than a 66 megahertz Pentium. The engine itself was designed for speed. It's written in very portable C and has been running on small devices, on Linux, on QNX, under WinCE, under Windows. We haven't yet released our Mac OS 10 port, but that's working too. On a 1 gigahertz Pentium, which is, you know, a decent machine, I'd say, it runs about 150 times real time. 150 times faster than real time. And on an iPac, on that kind of class machine, it's 20 to 40 times faster than real time.
So in Linux, for example, you could use it to enhance work with, say, the new GNOME graphical environment accessibility tools that are out there. It should work with that, for instance.
Yes. In fact, we have a plug-in replacement for the Festival server so that our code looks like Festival. By the way, Alan, our co-founder, is one of the primary authors of the free Festival system, and I am the default voice that ships with it. So in that sense, we're there at the moment, and free TTS hopefully will come along. I'm really excited about GNOME accessibility. I've been a free software user for some time. We've contributed a lot in that space, and we're certainly interested in making our products work as well as we can with all the accessibility, and particularly with our friends in the open source world.
Have you had much feedback from blind listeners in terms of what they're hearing from your synthesizers and what they think?
We have met with a local group, the Visually Impaired Pittsburgh Area Computer Enthusiasts, and demonstrated our products and tried it under a couple of the screen readers we had available. And that's part of where we started working on the latency. We started working on pronunciations of particular words, making sure that we had coverage for the things we needed. So we do get some feedback. The issue of regularity versus intonation, that is one of the key features. And we find that people who are accustomed to the sound of a Dektok or another more regular synthesizer are a little more resistant to it, I would say, but people who are new to the technology seem to be more attracted to it. So it's an interesting mix. We hope to get more. We're hoping to have a lot of feedback from our first round. And the work we've been doing with vendors in the accessibility market has given us a lot of important changes that honestly we hadn't considered until we got into it. Certainly the latency issue, having a real snappiness when the synthesizer is supposed to speak, came to the fore.
And, of course, the American Council of the Blind's convention is in Pittsburgh this year. Is there any chance that you'll have a presence there?
We'll be there physically. We'll be there. We'll be walking around. We'll be handing out demos. We'll definitely be there. We don't have a booth, but we'll be there in person.
Right, so if we run into someone who sounds like a familiar synthesizer, we shouldn't be alarmed about that.
That's right.
Well, I appreciate you coming on the program, and we will do a quick demonstration following this interview of the Frank voice, and wish you all the best. Do keep us informed about how it's all going.
Well, thank you very much. This has been a pleasure.
Well, now let's take a quick look at the Kepstra voice in action. I've downloaded a copy of the Frank Kepstra voice from the Kepstra store and installed it. The installation was very straightforward, using a pretty regular install kind of wizard. And it's now available to access technology products that allow you to get to the full range of SAPI 5 speech engines. One such product is, of course, Windowize, and will give 4.5 Beta 2 a roll. And because Kepstra was the last voice that I used, we should be able to go ahead and just press the Windowize hotkey, and up it should come.
Windowize 4.5 Beta 2, Custom Control, Studio Recorder Document 1.
And it's put me in Studio Recorder, which is the application I'm using to record this segment. And now let's minimize everything.
Desktop.
And go to the Start menu.
Start menu.
I'll just go to Programs.
Programs, pull down. Accessories, pull down.
It's fairly responsive if I arrow around quickly.
Accessories, pull down.
So it's not too bad.
Accessibility, pull down.
I'll just arrow down.
Communications, entertainment, pull. Microsoft Interactive Training, pull. System Tools, pull. Address Book, Calculator, Command Prompt, Notepad.
Let's go into Notepad.
Untitled Notepad, Edit Box.
And it's untitled Notepad. That's a pretty common one. Let's do Control-O to open a file.
Dialog. Open. Combo. Edit box.
And we'll just type in the name of a file, frank.txt, that I have prepared for this purpose. And let's let it rip with a read-to-end hotkey.
Hello. This is a test document, written for reading on main menu using the Kepstra Frank voice. What you will find with this voice is that commas and periods are not as distinctive as they may be with other older voices. This is because of newer technology employed in this speech, which seeks to make judgments about phraseology in new ways. Anyway, let's see what happens when we ask a question with this speech. Do you listen to main menu every week? Have you been good boys and girls this year? As you can hear, a question mark seems to make no difference. You do not hear the voice rising in question-like fashion at the end of a sentence. And now, an exclamation mark. The Mosin explosion is such fun. Oh yes it is, as you can hear, not much real difference there either. That said, the speech is quite clear, and is still very intelligible at faster speeds.
Let's just see how much flexibility there is in terms of the rate and pitch, etc.
Window eyes active.
At least with window eyes. And we'll just see what we've got
volume,
here.
Volume, tone, pitch.
We'll start with the pitch first.
Screen, keyboard, mouse, all.
And now let's...
All voices up. 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 All voices down.
So this is the highest we can make it, at least with window eyes.
Frank.
And let's just do a quick fraction of that again.
Hello. This is a test document, written for reading on main menu using the Capstral Frank voice. What you will find with this voice is that commas and periods are not as distinctive as they may be with other older voices. This is because of newer technology
So that's the very highest pitch.
Inbox.
And now if I go... Frank. I don't need to do that, do I?
Note.
There we go, we'll go...
All voices up.
And that's the lowest pitch.
What you will find with this voice is that commas and periods are not as distinctive as they may be with other older voices. This is because of newer technology employed in this speech, which seeks to make judgments about phraseology and...
So we'll just,
All voices up.
Get it about middle somewhere.
All voices up. All voices down.
And let's have a look at the rate now.
Rate. All voices up. All voices up. All voices up. All voices up. All voices up.
Obviously, we need speech that, for those of us who are used to working with speech, can be cranked way up. So here we are, cranked up to the max with Frank, with window eyes.
Hello, this is a document. Written for reading on main menu using the Capstral Frank voice. What you'll find with this voice is that commas and periods are not as distinct as they may be with older voices. This is because of newer technology employed in this speech, which seeks to make judgments about phraseology in new ways. Anyway, let's see what happens when we ask a question with this speech. Do you listen to the main menu every week? Have you been good boys and girls this year?
So that's right up to the max.
All voices up.
Now, at that rate, it sounds decidedly unwell, but that's not unusual for speech at the very low rate. So we'll just speed it up a little bit.
All voices up. All voices up.
So this
all voices down
is a fairly slow rate that will allow us to hear it reasonably intelligibly.
Hello, this is a test document written for reading on main menu using the Capstral Frank voice. What you will find with this voice is that commas and periods are not as distinctive as they may be with other older voices. This is because of newer...
That newer technology I'm referring to there was explained to me, and it seems that they're using all sorts of analysis to determine when there should be certain pauses and that kind of thing. It is a new concept for a blind person to get used to, because when you get really familiar with your speech, you can tell whether you've left a comma out or a full stop or a period out, even when you're not necessarily in a proofreading mode where every punctuation mark is spoken. I don't think you'd be able to ever get to that point with the speech set in this mode, although I understand that they could set it so that it would behave as older speech engines behave. So that's a brief look at the Capstral voice, and I guess what I would say is that this company seems to be extremely innovative. They do have speech on platforms other than the PC, most notably pocket PC type devices, so we may be seeing the speech around in a number of devices in the future, I suspect. And additionally, they really seem keen to help. They understand that the blind market is important, or the assistive technology market in general is important, and they really were keen for me to emphasize that they wanted to get feedback from people. So if you have any feedback after going to their website at Capstral, that's CEPSTRAL.com, then I'm sure they would be really pleased to hear from you. On that website, there's a very straightforward demo form where you can put some text into an edit box and choose the voice and various other characteristics and hear it. So have a play with that, and I'm sure you'll find it of interest. And they look like a company to watch in the future.